And Emma in New Zealanders hate talking about money and it's causing stress for some households, yeah?
Kia ora money, that's right. New Zealanders' reluctance to talk openly about money is causing stress in their personal relationships. A new survey from the Commission for Financial Capability shows a fifth of those surveyed are experiencing problems in their relationships because of financial concerns. Those with little or no income were the most likely to experience issues, but having more money has not been the end of money problems, with 21% of respondents with salaries above $150,000 reporting tension. The Commission's personal finance lead, Tom Hartman, says such conflicts often occur because speaking about money and how different people relate to it hasn't been normalised.
In a relationship, no two people are exactly the same. They were raised, typically raised with money in different ways, and no two people will earn exactly the same salary. So those imbalances will make the conversation really hard. On top of that, culturally, it has been seen in the past as something vulgar to talk about money. It's a taboo. It causes problems. And especially when it comes to debt, there's a level of guilt and shame that comes with it that makes it very difficult to talk about.
That's the Commission for Financial Capability's personal finance lead, Tom Hartman. A cyber expert says the true number of attacks on New Zealand businesses could be as much as 7 times more than what is currently being reported. Under changes to the Privacy Act, which come into effect on December the 1st, a distributed denial of service attack, like the one which took down the Stock Exchange's website last month, would need to be reported. It is thought a new string of attacks in the last week on companies listed on the Stock Exchange is being done by the same group. Bruce Armstrong, a director with the security firm Darkscope International, says when Australia began its mandatory reporting in 2018, the number of attacks increased sevenfold. He says many companies scammed for tens of thousands of dollars don't report it to authorities.
They don't report that because it's only, you know, for some of these organisations it's a small amount, but they still got scammed for money, and, you know, that just sucking out of our economy, it just shouldn't be happening. So there's probably a lot of organisations, even the ones that you haven't heard about, that have been hit and may have paid the ransom. Now, we've been playing this game of hide and hope. You know, we hide because we're stuck down at the bottom of the planet, hope that we're not going to get hit. But when we do get hit, we seem surprised. We shouldn't be surprised, because New Zealand businesses are just as susceptible to being attacked as any business anywhere else in the world.
And that's Bruce Armstrong with the security firm Darkscope International. And on average, there are about 200 cyber attacks reported each year in New Zealand. The agritech sector is rebranding itself to international markets, riding on the coattails of New Zealand's response to the COVID-19 pandemic. The industry has shot to the top of the government's priorities for economic growth with $11.4 million to implement a transformation plan, backed up with the support of New Zealand Trade and Enterprises Global Network. Agritech New Zealand Chair Kenneth Irons says there has never been a better time to market the sector to the world.
I think government has recognised that agriculture in general and agricultural technology in particular is an agile, quick sub-industry. And so the government can quite realistically expect that if it puts a little bit of budget behind, and in national GDP terms, $11 million is a drop in the ocean, but it's enough to fire up the sort of activity that can make a meaningful difference to domestic food and fibre production, but it also can quite realistically contribute to a global uptake if we get a number of major settings right, and we don't necessarily have all of them right, even any of them right. We will be able to see more companies growing more quickly internationally, which can contribute to economic wealth in New Zealand.
That's Agritech New Zealand Chair Kenneth Irons. A US equities expert says the markets will remain volatile for some time, and investors need to balance their portfolios against a multitude of risks. European markets led the start of the week's sell-off, with Wall Street following. The Dow Jones slumped more than 900 points at one stage, managing to close the gap somewhat and closed down by 500 points. Deflating tech stocks, weak airline and bank shares, a deadlock over more fiscal stimulus and fears of a second wave of COVID-19 all contributed to the slide. The head of US equities at Aviva Investors, Susan Schmidt, says with the upcoming election and no end in sight for the pandemic, the chaos will continue.
That's not unusual. Remember that they did shoot up. And in fact, the summer was basically a consistent upward climb for the market, with new records being reached. It's healthy to see the market go back and forth. I think fall is here. It's that back to school time when investors are really focused. And I think they're very concerned about upcoming elections, earnings, outlook, and they're very concerned. So yes, I think we can continue to see both up and down moments for the market.
Susan Schmidt from Aviva Investors. Time for the latest from the markets, and we're joined by Kyle Edmonds from Jarden Securities. Kia ora to you, Kyle. Let's take it closer to home and have a look at our own market. How are things tracking this morning?
Yeah, not too bad there, Emma. So we're up 24 points, which sits us at 11,563. The major movers are A2 Milk up 4 cents to 17.90. Mercury's up 5 cents to 4.82. Ryman Healthcare's up 22 cents to 13.72. Fisher & Paykel Healthcare's made a bit of a move back to 44 cents, up 44 cents to 31.63. This is offset by some laggards, including Main Freight down 10 cents to 45.50. EBOS is down 4 cents to 23.96. Auckland Airport down 3 cents to 6.95. Somerset's down 3 to 8.59. Contact Energy and Fonterra both down 2 cents to 6.25 and 4.05 respectively.
And let's have an opening number on the Australian, please, and then take us through the currencies.
Sure thing. So opening number on Aussie down 50 points to 5772, so that's sort of just under 1%. Down to currency, New Zealand against the USD is 0.66, against the Aussie 0.92, against the pound sterling 0.52, against the euro 0.56, against the Japanese yen 69.76, against the Chinese renminbi 4.52.
And to finish there, please, interest rates, oil and gold.
Sure thing. NZD TWY 72.60. 3-month bank bill is 0.33. Brent crude is 41.81. And gold is 1912 an ounce.
That's wonderful. Thank you very much. Kyle Edmonds from Jarden Securities there. And in other business news, the BNZ Bank has reviewed the transactions it sent that were flagged as suspicious and identified through leaked documents, and says it has no concerns over how they were handled. Three New Zealand banks were named among the tangle of banks worldwide that are being accused of being complicit in money laundering via documents called the FinCEN files. The documents show BNZ sent just over $78,000 over four transactions to a bank in Taiwan, which were flagged as suspicious by a US-based bank. A BNZ spokesperson says it has re-looked at the payments and has not identified any concerns in relation to processes or how they were managed at the time.